You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
A special show today for me. I'm dedicating my show today to a very dear friend who passed away this week, and that is Rick Evans. And for folks who play golf here and around the area, and maybe you've teed it up at Liberty National a time or two, we called him Goose, and he got his nickname from the movie Top Gun, hence why I opened the show with that today as opposed to Dancing Queen, and just a wonderful man here in the area. And I just want to share my story with you because I met him through sports talk radio. So Goose would listen to me on the radio, and of course, avid golfer, and was hosting the golf show. And so Goose would spend his summers here as a caddy at Liberty National, and he would spend his winters down in Florida or in Arizona. And so he caddied at TPC Scottsdale and of course, in the Orlando area. So, but whenever he was here for the summer, so he would reach out to me via an email that he had found to reach me online. And one year he sent me an email saying, "Hey, I'm a caddy at Liberty, and I listen to you on the radio all the time, and I want to extend an invitation for you to come out here and play at Liberty National. Would love to meet you, and I think you'd really enjoy the track." And so I got the email, and I was just like, "Oh, this is kind of shady, right?" Like, and I didn't respond to it. So a year goes by, and he once again reaches out, same way. "Listen, I listen to you on 98.7 ESPN. You're one of my favorite listens." He was an avid fantasy football player, so I'm sure that was another big reason why he would listen to me. And he said, I want to extend the invitation again. Would love for you to come out and play Liberty National." So I said, "Okay, I'll come out and play." I said, "But I need to bring a plus one." I was nervous. This is a stranger reaching out to me via email. So I said, I'm going to bring," and he said, "Absolutely, bring a plus one." And so I went out to Liberty National, and man, he rolled out the red carpet for me and my guest, and played 18 holes with him, and him and I immediately bonded. Just, there's people in life that it was so unexpected, right? Don't get me wrong, I was ecstatic and thrilled that I had an invite to play one of the most beautiful golf courses in the world, and blessed that he had reached out to me. But, it just seemed kind of weird at first, but went out there, brought my plus one, and had a wonderful round with Goose. And from that day forward, he was my friend. And years after, being invited to come out to Liberty National as his guest via members, right? Rick would go to a member and say, "Hey, do you know Anita Marks? She's really this cool chick." "Well, thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. And oh, by the way, she's a really good golfer. Do you want me to invite her to come out and join us for our round?" And many, many members were like, "Yeah, sure, let's do that." And so that's how I was blessed to go out and play Liberty National as many times as I was able to through Goose. And then our friendship developed even more so to where I would go out and I would participate in tournaments, and I would hire Goose to come and caddy for me at tournaments. And I just loved the man. He was just really, really awesome. And my best rounds of golf were with Goose. He knew my mental. He would just hand me, I wouldn't even look at the club. He would just hand me, he knew my game. He knew every line. I never questioned him lining up my putt, ever. And some of my best rounds of golf were with Goose. Unfortunately, he lost his daughter to cancer a few years ago, and I was there for him to go through that. And I've actually had him on my show a few times for the golf show. And I'll never forget. So the second time I went out to Liberty National to play, he said, I have a confession to make. He said, a reason why, not only because I'm a fan of yours on the radio, but another reason why I wanted you to come out here and play Liberty Nationals, the caddies out there host a fantasy football team. And so he said, we'd really love for you to be a part of our fantasy football league this season. He said, would you do that? So 1 year I played in their league. And so that was nice. So unfortunately, I got the call yesterday morning that he was caddying for a young amateur who actually just got invited to play at Augusta National this year. Her name is Yana Wilson. And he was on her bag, unfortunately collapsed on the golf course and passed away overnight. So I'd imagine that there's quite a few people out there listening that, again, if you're in the golf world and you're familiar with Liberty National, anyone who's been a member or spent a lot of time at Liberty National, you know Rick Evans and you know Goose and you know what a phenomenal man he was. And so I wanted to open up my show and dedicate the show to Goose today. You know, there's one thing about doing this job and that's meeting the most amazing people that I have in my life because of what I do for a living. And Goose was definitely one of them. So I just want to make this a celebration of life because he was just a really awesome guy. And I just feel really blessed that in an interesting way, because of Sports Talk Radio, he came into my world. So again, I just want to dedicate this show to Goose. We've got a lot to get to today, right? You got a Knicks team that just came off of a really amazing win against the Orlando Magic. And amazing because this is a team that still do not have all their horses in their stable as we're waiting for Julius Randle and OG and Mitch Robinson. Hopefully Mitch Robinson can get back in action before the postseason starts. But also a team that held the Orlando Magic to 74 points. And this isn't your grandfather's Orlando Magic team. This is an Orlando Magic team that's quite good this season. So I really do believe last night was pretty much a real big statement game for the Knicks. And obviously huge that as we got closer to the tip-off, that news broke that Jalen Brunson was going to give it a go. As we know, he's been on the shelf the last few games because of that tweaked knee, but put up 26 points last night. And like I said, a statement game, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Achiuwa had 14 rebounds and 5 blocks in the game, which was really, really amazing. So we're going to get into some Knicks talk in the next 3 hours. Also, Cynthia Freeland is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes. Obviously, a lot of talk around the NFL as teams had to shed, even though the salary cap was brought up by almost over $30 million. There were still teams like the Buffalo Bills, and there's still teams right now. I want to say, hold on, I've got that information in front of me. So there's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's still 8 teams that are over the cap. 49ers by almost $300,000. The Denver Broncos at 2.6. The Bills at 9. The Ravens and the Cowboys a little over $10 million over the cap. The Saints, $17 million. And the Chargers and the Dolphins at $20 million. So there's still quite a few teams, even though the salary cap was raised a little over $30 million, there's still a number of teams that are still over the cap. And the Bills really was a team this week with a lot of talk, had to shed a lot. So teams had to do that, getting ready for free agency. The tags, or those that have not been tagged, hence Saquon Barkley, have been made. And now this coming week is when things really start heating up and start getting good. once free agency is over, of course, then we start focusing in on the draft and what teams need. But it just seems like the Giants, especially here in our own backyard, have been on the front burner because Russell Wilson, apparently, Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport reporting that he had a pit stop at Newark Airport and met with the Giants. I don't blame the Giants for having a cup of coffee or, I don't know, a glass of wine with Russell Wilson. Apparently it was during the day, so who knows? I don't know. Every now and then I enjoy a glass of wine for lunch. And then he went on to meet with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and apparently reports are his meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers went quite good. He spent a lot of time with Arthur Smith, who, of course, was the former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, now the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. So what does that all mean? Just the fact that the Giants were even open to meeting with Russell Wilson. A lot of talk and speculation, even more so now that the Giants are going to take a quarterback at six. Who knows? Maybe they trade up and take a quarterback in either one, two, or three. So we're going to dive into all that. We'll talk to Cynthia Freeland. She's got her finger on the pulse of all the news, of course, because she works for the NFL Network. So excited to get her on the program. Also, I thought it'd be great to get Jeff Legwald on the show with us today. He covers the Denver Broncos. I thought it'd be good to get him on. It's really important, I think, for folks to understand exactly the contract that Russell Wilson has right now and the monies that the Denver Broncos are on the hook for. And what teams can sign Russell Wilson for, considering he's a 12-year vet. So we'll dive into all that, considering that the Giants are kicking the can as well. But reports are that he had a really great meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there's also a chance, I believe, he's going to fly out to Las Vegas to meet with the Raiders. So there's that. And of course, it's Saturday. As always, we have Joe Wiz on the program. We've got a click or don't click. We've got the wonderful and fabulous Harvey and Joe who are producing the show. So excited. They will lead the way. And we are bringing back Who Am I, which I'm excited about because it will be the first time that Joe and Harvey will play Who Am I. And it's a fun little, I'll call it a game. It is a game. It's a fun game we play here on 98.7 ESPN, especially in the offseason of the NFL when there's really not a lot going on. Still waiting for Major League Baseball season to start. Still a lot of storylines there. But we'll spend a lot of time talking about the Knicks, the Giants, and the NFL in general. And of course, we'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. Again, Anita Marks with you on this Saturday afternoon. This show, again, dedicating to Rick Evans, a.k.a. Goose, one of the best caddies I've ever been around and spent a lot of time at Liberty National. God bless. Godspeed, my friend. More to come, 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's talk about what's going on with the Giants. Again, what's being reported is that Russell Wilson had a pit stop here in Newark and met with the Giants. Okay, that's what's being reported. Now, it's really important that folks understand. So here's what the situation is. Denver is on the hook to pay Russell Wilson $39 million this year. $39 million. Now, he's a 12-year vet. So the veteran minimum that a team will have to pay him, a minimum that they have to pay him is $1.2 million. So let's just say, hypothetically speaking, he signs with the Giants. and the Giants pay him $1.2 million, then you take the $39 million, you subtract $1.2 million, and then the Denver Broncos are on the hook for the remainder, the difference. So you talk about a bargain deal to get Russell Wilson to come in and be your quarterback. The thing is that really a good fit here in New York? Obviously, the coaching staff and Joe Shane feel it is. If they're, again, meeting with Russell Wilson. Also this week, and I'm, do you guys have the, why am I forgetting? I hate when I do that. Lewis, he went off on the Giants. So this week, reports came out that the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. Okay? That came out this week, right? A few things. And for Rich Eisen to report that is pretty significant. Like, listen, Rich Eisen, and I'm going to talk to Cynthia Freeland about it. She's going to be joining us in 10 minutes. You know, obviously working for the NFL Network, really connected, you know, not the kind of report that goes out there that you're like, oh no, I don't believe him. So Lewis Riddick, there you go. So Lewis Riddick comes out. Do you guys have that? Do you have his soundbite, by the way, Lewis Riddick? Oh, fantastic. So understand that for that to come out and for Rich Eisen to have that information, somebody within the Giants organization leaked that out, that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are done with Daniel Jones, right? Like, and it may not have been somebody within the Giants organization telling Rich Eisen directly, but somebody within the Giants organization leaked that information and got back to Rich Eisen, where he feels either it was said to him directly or to a source that he feels confident about, that he's putting his own reputation on the line to go out and say that. So there are a lot of layers here in regard to just how screwed up this is. Even if the Giants do feel that way about Daniel Jones, now they've lost all leverage if they wanted to even try to trade Daniel Jones. Now, coming off of a knee surgery and whatnot, like, would they even be able to trade him? I think they would. What would they get for him? I don't know, maybe like a fifth round draft pick with a conditional fourth if he starts every game of next season, if he passes for so many yards, if he allows a team, he helps a team get to the postseason, if like some type of conditional draft pick. I could see that happening. But now, since this has been leaked, no leverage at all. If teams out there know that this is how the Giants feel about Daniel Jones. On top of that, then for the Giants to meet with Russell Wilson compounded with what Rich Eisen said this week, it solidifies what Rich Eisen reported this week. And it's just not a really, really good look. Then on top of the fact that, you know, pertaining to the draft, there's talk and speculation that the Giants are going to go after a quarterback at six, whether it's J.J. McCarthy from the Michigan Wolverines, who falls to them at six, or, and I've been saying this for months now, if you listen to me, you know that I am head over heels with Drake May. I think Drake May is the best quarterback in this draft. I think if the Bears take Caleb Williams at one, it's a huge mistake. Will Jaden Daniels end up, at the end of the day, being better than Drake May? Possibly. I don't believe so. I'll tell you what, I take Daniels over Caleb. I think Caleb is the third best quarterback in this draft. But everybody and their grandmother is expecting the Chicago Bears to take him at one. Fine. Do it. I hope the Chicago Bears take him at one. And I hope Washington takes Jaden Daniels at two. And I hope that Drake May still on the board at three and the Giants make the call and potentially work a deal to trade up and go get Jaden Daniels at three. Now, the Giants are on the hook for Daniel Jones to start this season. $35 million, something like that. Will he be ready week one? Jordan Renan believes that he is. Jordan Renan covers, of course, the Giants for 98.7 ESPN and all things ESPN. We've had him on New York Game Day several times. He feels that Daniel's recovering nicely and will be ready to go regular season week one. Okay, it's great that he's confident about it. Are the Giants and the Giants medical staff confident about it? Not sure. Also, and the bigger story here is how confident are you that Daniel Jones can stay healthy? You know, I am probably one of the biggest Daniel Jones supporters. I really like Daniel Jones a lot. I think he's a top 15, you could argue top 20 quarterback in the NFL. Dude's been sold a bag of lemons here in New York. Eight offensive coordinators since Duke. Imagine that. That's like, and I try to explain this, you know, playing for a different offensive coordinator is like trying to learn a new language. Could you imagine? You know, compared to, and let me preface by saying, I'm not sitting here telling you that Daniel Jones is better than Patrick Mahomes. That is not what I'm saying. But look at the situation with Patrick Mahomes, right? Being drafted to Kansas City Chiefs, coming in with Andy Reid, one of the best coaches in the NFL, let alone offensive minds in the NFL, let alone quarterback whisperers in the NFL, and has played under the same system with Andy Reid his entire time. Hasn't had to learn a new system. On top of that, Daniel's had horrible offensive lines. Horrible. And it goes back even further from Andy Reid. It goes back further from Dave Gettleman. Right? This is a Giants organization that even during Eli Manning, his tenure, did not invest in the offensive line properly, especially towards the end of Eli's career, where I think Eli could have been a lot better. His stats could have been a lot better. The Giants could have won more games if Jerry would have invested, as I like to call them, in Dancing Bears, but did not. And I came across an interesting stat. You know, Daniel Jones, 8-14 in games that Saquon Barkley did not play in. And the majority of games, you know, it was kind of like a topsy-turvy season, right? Like the games that Daniel Jones was healthy for, the majority of them, he did not have Saquon Barkley on the field. So he didn't have Saquon Barkley, and he had arguably the worst offensive line in the NFL. Definitely bottom five. And why is Daniel Jones so injury-prone? Well, I'm sure a lot of it is genetic. I've talked about that time and time again. You know, big reason why players, athletes get injured. One of the biggest reasons is genetics. Number two is how they take care of themselves, health, whatever the case may be, how they eat, how they sleep. Do they get treatment? Do they take advantage of the cold tub? All the things. Do they come in on their days off to make sure that they get therapy? And playing smart. Knowing when to go down. Knowing how to get tackled. So there's all that. But the biggest concern for Daniel Jones is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. I feel Daniel Jones, I think he needs a new team. I think he needs a new team. I think he needs a new surrounding. I think he needs a team and a coach and an offensive coordinator who's going to do right by him, because this Giants team is not. And now this leaks that they're done with him. How about if Daniel Jones is done with you? Why is anyone talking about that? The way that the Giants have handled him? If you were Daniel Jones, would you be happy? I wouldn't. I'd be telling my agent, what do you mean they're done with me? Screw them. Look what they've done to me. Just, you know, every year, every 2 years, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, horrible offensive line, no weapons to work with. What if Daniel Jones is done with the Giants? Granted, yeah, they paid him a lot of money. But money's not everything.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
That music only means one thing. Cynthia Freeland in the house.
No doubt now.
How you doing, Cynthia?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Hanging in there. Was up in Bristol, Connecticut yesterday and the day before. Not the same scene. You're pretty face walk around campus, that's for sure. Do you miss it at all? Do you miss the East Coast? Do you miss not living in Bristol, obviously, but do you miss being there?
This time of year, I'm going to go ahead and say no. But other times of year, yes. Like the fall, I love the leaves changing. But I don't know, March and 70s, it's hard to say that that was a bad move, you know?
So for folks who might not be aware, Cynthia Freeland used to work for ESPN. And that's where Cynthia and I met. I used to come up to Bristol and spend Fridays watching games in the war room with everybody. And Cynthia, it was so funny. I felt like we had like the girls row with you and me and Stefania, and right? Like, right. We had like the girls row.
It was great. And yeah, it's like a badge of honor, right? You know, we all did our time there, and I'm from a cold climate, and I went to college and grad school in cold climate. So I feel like I properly appreciated my Michigan upbringing, and now I can live by the beach. We're good. We're good here.
There you go. So Cynthia and I go way back again when she used to work for ESPN, and then of course got a phenomenal job with the NFL Network and moved to the West Coast, and here we are. So with that being said, let's start first and foremost. One of your coworkers, Rich Eisen, came out this week and said that the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. Now listen, in Rich Eisen, I trust. I mean, obviously his reputation. I don't think he would say something if it wasn't true. My thing is, you know, obviously for Rich Eisen to get a hold of that information, it had to leak from somewhere within the Giants organization. And now what's happened, Cynthia, is that there's no leverage for the Giants. Let's say even if they wanted to try to trade Daniel Jones, right? Number one. Number two, that gets back to Daniel Jones. You know, how is that going to make him feel? I'm sure he's not going to be excited to attend OTAs this offseason if the Giants are done with him. It's just such a bad look, Cynthia.
I guess, I mean, look, I know Rich is a liar. I know, you know, that's the information he was given. Like, it's an interesting stance and take, but I just don't think anyone involved would say any of this stuff if they didn't have like a contingency plan. Maybe they think he's, you know, maybe it's all, maybe they told Rich that they're paying. Who knows, right? Like at this point in the game, no one knows. But I will say the cap going up significantly more than people anticipated does change a lot of the metrics for absolutely every position. So, I'm kind of shocked. I didn't actually hear Rich say that, so I'm kind of shocked. But you know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if you know a JJ McCarthy ended up in New York.
Lewis Riddick, who we're both very good friends with, again, your time at ESPN, had this to say. Guys, if we can play that, I want Cynthia to hear what Lewis had to say. Go ahead.
13 months ago, their owner, John Mara, said, "We've done everything we could
We've done everything in the world, everything possible to screw this kid up in terms of the structure that they put around him with the coaching staff, the support he had on the offensive line, the support he had at the skill positions, all of it. And then just, you know, in March of last year, almost to the day, they gave him a contract. He played 6 games this year. He was sacked 30 times. Their pass block win rate's in the bottom quarter of the NFL. Andrew Thomas missed time this year. John Michael Schmitz missed time. Evan Neal is still a work in progress at right tackle. Darren Waller, who they signed, didn't pan out for them in the way that they hoped. They have no weapons on the perimeter, and now all of a sudden, now they're done. On top of the fact that now Brian Daboll has gone from being a coach of the year to having turmoil throughout his staff, people leaving, people wanting to leave, and now maybe, you know, the speculation now is about whether or not he's coaching for his job. Isn't that amazing how stuff can turn on its head? And you wonder why the Giants have not been able to make some headway right now in the East and be true contenders. Because when you have this kind of thing that is happening within one calendar year, there's no way you can make headway.
So with that being said, Cynthia, what are your thoughts about Daniel Jones and the way that the way that his tenure has unfolded in New York, and what are your expectations are for him next season?
Well, my first thought is that, you know, Luke Riddick usually reserves that kind of anger level for like a Howie Roseman rant or perhaps a Dan Snyder rant.
Yes, he does.
His former employer.
He went off, dude. He went to town.
Who hurt you, sir? those are some very strong words. I think, you know, perhaps Lewis should be Daniel Jones's agent going forward.
Agent.
Because I would want someone to fight that hard for me for absolutely anything. But look, I think the reality is there's a lot of organizations that don't have the fortune to have a good offensive line. I mean, I think that the same could be said for the Bears. The same could be said for a lot of teams that don't have good, you know, outcomes to last season. So I don't know if, you know, look, paying him last year was more of a function of the way the market works, meaning, you know, what were you going to do, right? Like, you could pay him or you could let him go. I mean, that to me was like a sign of faith in him to give him a big contract. And now you have to think about, okay, where are we now? What do we need to do now? Let's take a model from the 49ers, where if we don't actually believe that this guy is our guy, you know, with Trey Lance as my comp here, then move on and kind of give him an opportunity to succeed elsewhere, even if you lose your leverage. That's kind of my read on the situation, a little less spirited than Lewis's, but a little bit more pragmatic.
Again, Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Also, word this week is that Russell Wilson, on his way to Pittsburgh, had a pit stop at Newark and met with the Giants. Giants kicking that can, having the cup of coffee. Your thoughts on where you think Russell Wilson's going to land, and what uniform is he going to grace this coming season?
Well, they have the luxury, whichever team ends up with Russell Wilson on their roster, they have the luxury of getting him for a low cost because of the way that last contract was structured. So I think sometimes people get a little confused when they think like, well, how are the Steelers going to afford this? And blah, blah, blah. They got to pay. And you're like, no. This is actually a favorable situation, because talk about lost leverage. I mean, Sean Payton gave away all of their leverage with Russell Wilson the minute that he benched him last season. So, you know, it's probably also what drives people being okay putting Daniel Jones in the market, because there are some interesting quarterback situations this year that provide a different financial structure than they would have in seasons past. So I don't know where I think he ends up. I actually think Pittsburgh does make a lot of sense. I just don't know what his tagline is going to be, because, like, let's ride just doesn't work there, right? You know, you got to, like, figure out, like, a terrible towel, something. I don't know. But I think Pittsburgh right now, at least to me, is the leader in the clubhouse.
You know, hearing good things about his meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers, apparently he spent quite a bit of time with Arthur Smith, of course, who is now the offensive coordinator. But also apparently reports are that he's going to meet with the Raiders as well. So we'll see what happens there. As for the draft, a lot more steam right now connecting J.J. McCarthy, quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines, with the Giants. In fact, their favorite on ESPN Bet to select J.J. McCarthy at 6. Is that surprising to you?
No, not at all. J.J. McCarthy was probably the biggest beneficiary of this draft process so far, meaning the combine and everything that's happened so far. I think a lot of teams were, like, more than impressed with his interview style and some of the questions about the limitations that he has. A lot of people who are in high ranking spots, meaning, you know, a coach that left and now works for the Chargers and doesn't need a quarterback. He said a lot of really important things like, well, we didn't ask him to do that. We think we could, he could have done it. We would have trusted him to do it, but we just didn't need him to.
Reports just now, just a few minutes ago, of course, Harvey and Joe notified me that the Cleveland Browns have traded two draft picks for Jerry Jeudy. To add to that Cleveland Browns wide receiving core, huge fire sale right now for the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton. I guess they're giving him the keys to the castle, and Jerry Jeudy now becoming a Cleveland Brown. What do you make of that trade?
I'm surprised Jerry Jeudy in the marketplace commanded two draft picks. I mean,
exactly.
I was, you know, like that's actually. I will say for the Payton and Payton squad, that's like a good haul for Jerry Jeudy because they clearly weren't using him. They didn't leverage him the way that he should have been leveraged. Like he wasn't it for them. So if he's not going to be it, then that's a lot in return. I mean, I put that one in the W column for the Broncos.
For sure. I've been spending a lot of time on ESPN Bet talking about the AFC North, right? The Ravens, Cincinnati, a healthy Deshaun Watson, what that means for a Cleveland Browns team that was able to go far with Joe Flacco. And then, of course, a lot of question marks in regard to the quarterback position for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, they do sign Russell Wilson. How do you feel that division plays out?
I think that's next year, at least right now, looking like the most treacherous division because, number one, the Bengals benefited so much from being able to franchise tag T. Higgins. Now they've got pretty much their entire kind of offensive weapon core under wraps there, and they'll be able to add to their O-line. So I think that it's very interesting. And by the way, keeping Lou Anarumo for them, who surprisingly didn't get a ton of looks this offseason
right,
for a head coaching
right.
spot, is a massive win. Like, I think that that's going to be, at least heading into the beginning of next season, that very well, very likely could be the hardest division in football.
I think that all four teams have an opportunity to make it to the postseason, and I'm waiting for that futures bet to land. Let's turn our attention back here to New York with what's going on with Saquon Barkley. Did not get tagged. I do believe the Giants are going to make him an offer. I don't know if it's going to be an offer that he's going to be able to accept. But there are a lot of teams out there that are interested in Saquon Barkley that have a lot of cap space. The Houston Texans being one of them. Over $66 million in cap space. Do you see a team like the Texans coming to the table and offering Saquon Barkley $12, $13 million a year?
Unfortunately for Saquon Barkley, and I really love what he has to offer, but unfortunately for him, there are other running backs in the market too that are going to potentially, I guess it will depend on when sort of the chips fall, right? Like, does Josh Jacobs get re-signed and for how much? And how will some of these other contracts in the marketplace dictate what the price will be? Because unfortunately, I mean, there are some injuries and we do know, and I'm not sure how this market, just the way that people have been viewing and valuing running backs, I don't know if that massive contract is out there. I mean, Derrick Henry is still looming large, and I know he was injured too, but in recent years. But that is, unfortunately, that just drives down the price for everyone when there's more potentially high-end running backs in the market.
You know, heading into a week that's going to be really fun and pertaining to free agency and whatnot, what do you anticipate to happen? Like, give me your top three scenarios or top three things that you anticipate to happen in the coming weeks in regard to free agency.
Well, I think we'll finally get our answer about Justin Fields, right? Like, we'll finally see. Because I think that kind of domino, like, let's say Justin Fields goes to Atlanta, then that changes, like, a lot of the top end of the draft. Obviously, Atlanta picking eight, like, they won't be looking to trade anymore. I think the way that it will shake out, because I think we have the potential for, in the top 10, to see, you know, three quarterbacks go, four quarterbacks potentially. And now, depending on what happens with this free agency. So I think, one, the Justin Fields answer will tip the scales in the direction of, how we see, you know, the rest of the draft playing out. Two, I think the L'Jarius Sneed situation, meaning I think that they'll probably get a second round pick to trade him. And, you know, I know that the Chiefs have tagged him now, but that corner market is also really interesting as well. And then three, we've seen some of these veteran safeties. The safety market is rocking, and there's a lot of really good opportunities for high-end safeties to go somewhere that makes a massive, immediate impact. So, I mean, where does the Kevin Byard of the world, and where do they end up, right? Like, where does Justin Simmons end up? I get it, they're 30, whatever, but, like, they're still playing at such a high level. But I think that is going to be really, really impactful going forward because safeties have such an impact. Like, the value as tight ends have become more and more used as pass catchers, those safeties to stop them, that has been more and more important. So there's a lot of guys out there, like, you know, I mean, I keep, like, praying that my Lions go out there and be like, hey, go get L'Jarius Sneed because y'all need some help at corner, and that would be amazing. So I think where he goes is going to be interesting, too, with that trade, obviously, attachment to it.
All right, last thing for you before we let you go. You know that I am not only the president, but I created the Drake May fan club and feel that he's the best and feel that he's the best quarterback in this draft. I would love nothing more than to see the Giants get him. Maybe they work out a trade deal with the Patriots at three if he's still on the board. Are you finding now a few days after the combine has ended, are you feeling that Caleb Williams' draft stock is falling and Drake May's draft stock is rising? Out of the quarterbacks, whose draft stock is rising the most?
Well, JJ McCarthy's rose the most, but again, he wasn't in the top three to start with. I think a lot of people loved how Jaden Daniels interviewed. They thought he was fun and, like, exciting and, like, kind of the future. And a lot of people thought Caleb Williams was weird. Like, it was just weird to not do medical, and it was just a sort of a strange decision-making process. Clearly, you know, people will speak to the fact that he doesn't have an agent, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, not doing your medical is pretty rare. So I think that I don't know if it hurt his stock as much as was, like, confirming some things where people were like, yeah, if I'm going to have to trade all the way up to go for someone, like, I'd feel more comfortable with Jaden Daniels or with Drake May. So I think between the three of them, it's starting to become more of, like, the word I'm going to use is, like, flavors. Like, there's one and 1A, which Caleb and Drake are one and 1A, and then Jaden Daniels, two. But now it's like, well, we can sacrifice a little bit in this because personality, that, and whatever, you know. So I don't know if it fell so much as it confirmed kind of what they already thought. Because remember, he didn't do interviews after USC's losses last year. So people were weirded out by that, to be, like, leery of that to begin with. Because if you're going to trade all the way up to, like, the top three, it's a lot of equity you're giving up. So
yeah, I mean, I can give you a laundry list as to why I would not draft Caleb Williams. But I don't think we have enough time in this show, and I do have 3 hours. Cynthia, love you, my friend. Always great that you make time for us on Saturday. Please know how much we appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And let's have a fun free agency. I hope it seems like it could be the craziest one yet. And I hope it doesn't disappoint, you know.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
With him, you just can simply say, look, we're going to bring you in, you're going to compete, and we'll see how you play, and we'll go from there. And I think that's kind of a good thing for your team if he's willing to accept that role. Remember, when Kurt Warner left the Giants, he was not playing well in his NFL career. And then he went to Arizona, was the backup there, and then became the starter. And I think those 2 years that he had at Arizona was what got him into the Hall of Fame.
So Michael Lombardi talking about, of course, Russell Wilson. Here's the thing. And again, we have Harvey and Joe who are producing the show. Guys, agree or disagree? Like, I don't think that Russell Wilson accepts a team if he's not guaranteed he's going to be the starter. I don't see him coming in and competing for a job. Do you?
What team guarantees him a starting job?
Atlanta, the Raiders, the Steelers.
Okay.
You sure about the Steelers?
Yeah, I don't think they're sold on Kenny Pickett.
I agree with you, but other than Atlanta and the Raiders, and those two teams are in a division that's one, and with the Raiders, you're not winning that division. Who knows with the NFC South? So I agree with Harvey. What team is handing Russell Wilson a job right now?
He's going to be playing for the minimum, so he's at least competing for the job no matter where he goes.
See, I disagree with you. He's giving a team a break because of the contract that he's getting from the Denver Broncos.
Well, that's very noble of him, but he's not that good anymore. So he's going to go. He's going to compete for a starting job no matter where he goes. He's not just going to win out a job on day one.
I see. I understand where you guys are coming from. Listen, I'm not a big Russell Wilson. I wouldn't sign Russell Wilson. That's not who I would want as my quarterback. But my point is, he's in the driver's seat right now. He doesn't even have to play this year. He's going to get $39 million from the Denver Broncos. So, you know, what team who's going to be in need of a quarterback? Okay, so I think really the best place for him is Atlanta. I think Atlanta is in a really good situation to win that division this year. But from what I understand, Atlanta's number one quarterback is getting Kirk Cousins.
Hey, Seattle.
So if he doesn't, if they don't get Kirk Cousins, I don't know, does Russell Wilson then become their priority? Possibly. You know, like I said, I think with the contract and the deal that he's agreed to with the Denver Broncos, I think he's in the driver's seat. I really do. Let's go to our phone lines. Let's go to Logan in Connecticut. Logan, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, love the show. I do agree with you on the Russell Wilson point. You could do a lot worse if he takes a deal for like a couple million bucks and you can build, kind of do the Brock Purdy model, you know, build up your team. But I did want to disagree with you pretty hard on the Caleb Williams take. I watch a lot of NFL, don't watch a ton of college, but I do watch enough to see who's, you know, elite, who's going to be drafted high, who's going to translate. I was screaming from the hilltops, Trevor Lawrence is going to be good, not great, back when he was like anointed the next John Elway. But what I see from Caleb, I think his floor is basically like a Phillip Rivers. He's a 4,000-yard passer every year. He's going to move the ball. Is he going to be a winner, like Super Bowl winner? You know, I don't know about that. He's definitely a little quirky, you know, maybe a little Kyrie Irving-ish. But I don't see how you could pass on his talent. So just want to hear your feedback on that.
Why would you want that in your locker room? I wish you wouldn't have hung up. Why would you want that in your locker room? Why would you want a Kyrie Irving mentality in your locker room or personality in your locker room? I wouldn't.
Cockroaches.
You know, I know we're at the top of the hour. I would love to dive into this more as to all the reasons why I'm not a fan of Caleb Williams and why I wouldn't draft him.